that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, Sweetland Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Crowd wants that final strike. Here's the 3-2 pitch. And he got him. And that's the ball game. The Red Sox win this one going away, TC. 10-4 on a night that's going to be remembered for the triple play we saw here at Fenway Park.
Welcome into the Baseball Reporters, coming to you from the Ace Ticket Studio in Kenmore Square. Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight alongside Marshall Hook for the next hour. Jimmy Stewart is back in Brighton alongside Billy Lanny, helping to produce the show, answering your phones at 617-779-0985. Jimmy, you can open up the phone lines. We'll get to you early and often. As we open with the final call of what I thought was kind of a sneaky important win for the Red Sox last night, 10-4 over the Cardinals. I was, as much as I actually enjoyed that triple play, I know, Marshall, you did as well. I thought it was all about the fifth inning and the offense coming alive. But I say it's a sneaky important win because St. Louis came in last night hot. They were 8-2 in their last 10. Red Sox were coming off what felt like a formality of a loss in that makeup against Cleveland on Monday. Doug Fister on the mound. And, yeah, I know he had a couple of good starts prior to that, but, I mean, that's the best you're going to get out of Doug Fister against that Cleveland lineup and the way Edward Encarnacion can hit the ball. Like, it felt like a scheduled loss. And then you have the Yankees taking one from the Mets. And then they win again last night, despite Aroldis Chapman doing his damnest to blow it. So it was important. You know, you don't want to give games back to the Yankees in the American League East. Game overall, fun as hell. Big night for the bats, like I said. Big fifth inning. Devers, Eduardo Nunez, Andrew Benintendi, they've completely changed this offense as of late. And hopefully it can be the impetus of kickstarting some of these other guys in the ass in the lineup who've been asleep at the plate. Bogarts, Mitch Moreland, Hanley Ramirez. So good stuff there. But the bats wake up, Marshall, and hopefully they remain that way. But I don't feel confident in that being sustainable because there's outside of Devers and Benintendi, it's only been kind of a small sample size. It's only been 17 games that Devers has played. There's not much pop in this lineup, but there is a guy out there that can add pop to this lineup, and if not this season, next. And that's Giancarlo Stanton of the Miami Marlins, who has cleared waivers. And Jeff Passan of CBSSports.com wrote a column today that starts as such. Every day that goes by with Giancarlo Stanton in a Miami Marlins uniform is a wasted opportunity for a franchise begging to be run properly. The market for Stanton may not be as limited as believed. According to sources, despite 10 years and $295 million remaining on his contract, at least four teams have inquired about the possibility of trading for him. And talks on a potential Stanton deal with one team before the July 31st non-waiver trading deadline had progressed to the point where the sides were actually exchanging names of players who could come back to Miami in return. Based on market size, money that it could be handled, like I have to believe that the Red Sox were one of those four teams, Marshall. This is a guy that at 27 years old, one of the most feared hitters in baseball, already up to, what, 44 home runs? This is a guy that could be a game changer for the Red Sox offense, and I would hope that the Red Sox are one of those four teams, and I would be willing to make moves for Giancarlo Stanton, save for a couple of players. But overall, any of the young bats that you see that have, you know, that have come alive here recently, Devers, Benintendi, you'd be willing to move anybody for?
I would. I mean, the big, you know, if we talked about the big four of young players, right? It's Betts, Benintendi, Devers, and Bogarts, the three B's with Devers mixed in there. I would be willing to deal any one of those four players on a couple reasons why. One, Stanton's better than any of them. Two, Stanton has proved that he can be a consistent, huge power bat in the middle of a major league lineup for multiple years. None of those other guys have. He is still only 27 years old, is Stanton. And this is something that I think we may have lost talking about this the last few hours. We're only talking about dealing one of them. So that means no matter any of them that you deal, you still have the other three of them. And even if you narrow it down to Devers and Benintendi as the two that you like the most, well, then you still have one of them. And so it's not as though you're going to say, well, we're going to trade all four of them for Stanton. That's ridiculous. You're going to trade one out of those four guys. You will still have a good core of young players left.
Yeah, so you have to figure it's got to be one of these name guys. And, like, you're not going to – and I don't really want to take any calls from, well, why don't we just move Eduardo Rodriguez and Jason Groom or some prospect we know little about or, like, Sam Travis. Like, there's no reason that the Marlins would accept a deal like that. You're going to have to, like Marshall just said, you're going to have to give away one of these guys that you look at as a building block, whether that's Bogarts, Mookie Betts. I mean, I didn't really even count Jackie Bradley Jr. I like his defense, but he's too streaky at the plate. So it would be Bogarts, Betts, Benintendi, or Devers. And maybe I've been too swept up in what's gone on here with Devers and Benintendi, but it's pretty simple. Without even looking at numbers, just based on the trajectory of these two and how fast it has happened, I'm not willing to move Benintendi and Devers, especially Devers. I said almost immediately, his swing reminds me of Vlad Guerrero's. Like, it's you can throw him a bad ball in the dirt at his toes, and he's got the power to hit it out of the park. I think that's a rare quality. And this kid has it in spades. And Benintendi, too. I mean, they both skip AAA. They both have such beautiful, natural swings. The power is real with Devers. Benintendi, not so much. But, you know, I do buy into that hype that he could be, the Fred Lynn of a new generation. I do question some of the baseball IQ when it comes to, you know, how he's gotten caught on the base paths, I think now 11 times, 10 or 11 times so far this season, and some of the defense that you've seen. But I love the upside for both of those players, and I would be almost, I'm unwilling to move those two. But Betts, and I know this is a sticking point for some people, I get it. The guy probably should have won the MVP last year over Mike Trout, but, you know, God forbid you give it a guy on a team that's going to make the playoffs. Betts, on a down year for him, the more you watch him at the plate, I think there's a lack of discipline there. Seemed, too apt to strike out too much for me lately, Marshall. And you throw him off speed stuff, especially sliders, he's going to chase. I think that's a bad look. Yeah, you can fix that. But at the same position, just as simple as this, with even a look at the numbers, Giancarlo Stanton or Mookie Betts, who do you want? I'm taking Stanton 10 times out of 10.
I'm taking Stanton over any one of those comparisons, right? I mean, you tell me right now, tonight, you tell me I could either have Rafael Devers out there or Mike Stanton out there. I'm taking Stanton. Benintendi or Stanton, I'm taking Stanton. And I'm taking it tonight. I'm taking it the rest of this year. I'm taking it next year and the year after that. He is a proven commodity, which doesn't mean that Devers doesn't become Stanton or Benintendi doesn't become Stanton. But A, they're not that now, and Stanton is. And B, what are the odds of that happening? Stanton is one of the, what, best two or three bats in all of Major League Baseball right now? So what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the price would be steep. And it's not, like I said, it's not like this would be a move that the Marlins would make now that he's cleared waivers, that they would take your junk for a player of this caliber. He's the real deal, and he would add you the pop that you need in this lineup, and he adds the sexiness factor that this team now lacks without David Ortiz. And that's important to the brass. It might not be to you, but believe me, to John Henry and company, that's important to them. They want to win the back pages. They want to win the PR battle. They want to have us talking about them here at 98.5 The Sports Hub or over at our competitor. That's a reality, and you'd get that with Giancarlo Stanton. So, huge addition if the price is right. Salary, huge burden for Miami. That's why they had him go on waivers. That's why they want to dump him. And it seems like, you know, in terms of teams that would be able to handle him, New York, Boston, maybe the Dodgers, the guy's a stud. He'd be good in those markets. He'd be great here. But what's the cost? What are you willing to give up? 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. There's a lot to get to. Sounds like ominous news on David Price. We'll hear some sound from manager John Farrell coming up. Your thoughts on this Stanton thing. What player you'd be willing to give? Are you with me and that Devers and Benintendi untouchable, or are you with Marshall? Pretty much anybody is on the table. 617-779-0985.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ground ball to third. Back tap in the bag one. That's a shot. Sox turn a triple play. How about that? That's three. You come to the ballpark, you never know what you're going to see. A triple play.
He's living in it right there.
Eduardo Rodriguez is on the mound for the Sox. And we'll have an update for you on David Price in just a minute. But start of the show, talking about the Red Sox offense last night. Obviously, the bats came alive like the gas hose gorillas. Old Bugs Bunny reference, obviously. The fifth inning last night. But I don't know how sustainable that is. Look, as much as Devers and Andrew Benintendi have really, and Eduardo Nunez to an extent, have really livened up this Red Sox offense, they still lack pop. They lack pop. You might have something special there. I do believe they have something special there when it comes to Rafael Devers. But I would love the 1-2 punch like we had in the early aughts and most of the last decade with David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. And you could potentially have that with Devers and Giancarlo Stanton, who has passed through waivers, available. You get him from the Miami Marlins, but what would you be willing to give up? Is Devers off the table, like he is for me? Andrew Benintendi, he's off the table for me, too. What about Mookie Betts? Mookie, I would be willing to move, even after a near MVP season. How about you? 617-779-0985. We'll start off tonight here in the Baseball Reporters with Dante in Linfield. You're up here on the Sports Hub. Hi, Dante.
Hey, guys. I think a solid offer to start with would be Bogaerts, Bradley, and pick a prospect or two. I think Devers is included in that conversation. I think he's on the table. I mean, let's face it, he's never going to play better than he's playing right now. I think the defense is very poor. He made the error last night that basically cost him the game with the home run that came after that. And honestly, I have some concerns with a 20-year-old kid who's as pudgy as he is. I'd hate to see him when he's 25, especially if he gets complacent.
Well, Dante, did you have any kind of concern? How old are you?
I'm going to be 26.
All right. I mean, I don't know how much of a seam head you are. I assume you are if you're calling the Baseball Reporters. But, I mean, Prince Fielder, before he really fell off a cliff, I mean, he was pudgy and could rake. I mean, fat guys can...
Yeah, he plays a different position. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Devers is a good player. You know, I'd like to keep him around if we didn't have to include him in the deal. But a guy like Stan only comes around every once every blue moon, you know, especially when they have a guy like Chavis who's hitting great in Double-A now. A third baseman waiting in the wings, you know, I feel like you can afford to make the deal at the moment, especially when they had such a good draft as they did.
All right, Dante, thanks for the phone call. I mean, it sounds like you'd be willing to give up way more than I would. You're throwing in Devers and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Betts. I don't think you need to do that. Like Marshall Hook pointed out in the first segment, I think you only really need one name.
I mean, you're going to need other guys to go with
sure.
it, but you only need one from that group of four, I think.
That was a harsh criticism on a kid who's 20 years old who we're just scratching the surface on. He's been up for 17 games, and he's already being intentionally walked. Cleveland didn't even know how to handle him in that game on Monday. Mike in the car, you are next here on the Baseball Reporters. Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I think you need to trade any of those four guys to get Giancarlo Stanton. I think right-handed power is at such a premium in the MLB. Nobody really has it. And the Yankees are going to be very competitive once they get either Harper or Machado. You have to keep up with them. And he's going to sell jerseys like they hope and pray for on the Yankee way. So I think he's a perfect fit here in Boston.
Oh, Mike, even from an off-field standpoint, you're 100% correct there. Like, they've been a blast to watch. They have budding stars in Benintendi and Betts. But they lack the sexiness factor. They don't have that without a guy like David Ortiz. He's gone. You'd get that with Giancarlo Stanton.
And that makes it sound like it's only a marketing thing. And you would get that from a marketing point. But I also think this team lacks personality within the clubhouse as well. Like David Ortiz was a leader. You know, he was a guy that other players could gravitate to. Probably not as much a leader as some other people think. But he was definitively the leader of this team. And they don't have that next person. It's not Xander Bogaerts. It hasn't been Mookie Betts. It could be Chris Sale, but pitchers are rarely that guy. You put somebody like Stanton in that clubhouse, he is the new center of that team in a way that benefits the team on the field as well as the business of the Red Sox.
If there's been one thing that's disappointing, if you can even call it that, that's probably not the right word, with Chris Sale because he's been nails, it's that I thought it was going to be with Chris Sale, I thought it was going to come the feel of Pedro. You know, like the park was going to be electric. His starts were going to be must-see, even for the casual fan. And that hasn't happened. So maybe it's a lack of personality. Maybe it's an overall bigger baseball topic. But Giancarlo Stanton, that guy puts asses in seats. That guy sells T-shirts. I know that's not important to a lot of fans, but that is important to John Henry and the brass. We'll go to Clark and Lowell, who has a thought on this. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, Clark.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's up?
You know, I think we're all talking about giving away the young talent. Why don't we just ship the dead weight to Miami and get David Price, put him on a ticket? If you want to make it sexy with Xander Bogaerts, I understand that because he's gone anyways when his day is up. And then Giancarlo is going to rule Boston. He's going to pound balls off the wall, and he's going to make the rest of the guys in that lineup solid. He's going to make Benintendi better. He's going to make Devers better. And they definitely need the leadership. I think it's a solid move. Let's get Price out of town. The price is right. Get him out of here.
Clark, I would put him in a wheelbarrow, and I would walk him down there. And I'd throw up my back doing it by the time I made it to Virginia. But they wouldn't do that. The Marlins put him on waivers anyway because they want to dump the contract. They're not going to take another bad contract from a guy who might be broken down and probably isn't even going to pitch next year.
You don't trade away a superstar making $30 million a year for a bust making $30 million a year. That kind of is not how that process works.
No, no. And so the last caller mentions David Price, and I said at the top of the show, there's some ominous news on him. Sounds like the rehab has been put on pause. Manager John Farrell had an update on David Price today and his unique elbow. Go ahead, John.
I will not throw today. We'll resume tomorrow. So, you know, as we've talked about each day when he comes in and kind of adjust the plan as needed, that's the adjustment today. You know, yesterday when he threw, I don't know that he felt as free as he did the three consecutive days in New York. So was just going to go through treatment today and then resume again tomorrow.
I even got some quality John Farrell turd polishing in there, too. Just can't give it to you straight. He wasn't as free as he was when he was throwing in New York? Okay, so he didn't throw today. It's a minor setback, but who even knows? I mean, you can't take the Red Sox at their word when it comes to injuries, and we'll get to that as it pertains to Dustin Pedroia before the end of the hour. But this, it just, you know what it makes me feel, Marshall, is that almost from the rip, like, they should have pressed David Price or encouraged David Price to go under the knife, because that feels like that's just an inevitability at this point, and so that you can get him back going into maybe the end, you know, the end of 2018, pitches a couple of games, and he pitches one more year, and then he can opt out.
Yeah, I mean,
now it feels like you're not going to get him at all next year.
I was one of those people that said in March, you know, this is it. You know, elbows, that's surgery. Let's just write off 2017 and hopefully we'll be back in 2018. I'll admit that I thought I was wrong when he came back and pitched well for a spell. I'm
same.
Like, well, they clearly made the right decision. You know, they shouldn't have thrown away this season because look at him. He's pitching better now this year and at a higher velocity than he did last year. Well, now I can revert to form and say, see, I told you. I was wrong in the middle there for a little bit, but I told you in March you should get the surgery.
Well, the velocity was up, throwing in the 90s. He looked, I mean, he was dominant in some of those games. Go back to, you know, the last home start he had against New York before he pitched one more game against Anaheim, and then he got the injury and he's been out. But now, like, as this continues, it feels like you're not even going to get him back this year. And when you still have to throw Doug Fister out there occasionally, like you did against Cleveland in the makeup game, like, if there's anything that might trip up this team and why producer Jimmy Stewart might end up being right about them, you know, having a September swoon, it's issues like this. And one other one I will get to before the end of the hour. As good as a win that was last night, there was an issue that I thought was pretty glaring in the bullpen. We'll touch on that. But one more call here before the update from Brian in the car. I wanted to talk about a potential move for Giancarlo Stanton. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, not so much about Stanton, but just kind of a question. I think Pedroia's got either 3 or 4 more years after this year on his contract. I think he's owed like $55 or $56 million. Moving forward next year, do you think he might be considered for a possible trade piece to dump for somebody either at the deadline or maybe an off season move? I'll hang up and hear what you think.
Thanks for the call, Brian. The last I heard Nas talk about any kind of potential move for Pedroia, I think he's a 10-5 guy, so I don't think he would have to approve any trade. That if I'm wrong on that, I stand corrected.
No, he's definitely a 10-5.
He is 10-5 guy, yeah. So, no, I think Pedroia's not going to go anywhere. He's going to retire a Red Sox. And if the time to have traded, if you wanted to trade Dustin Pedroia, you should have done that in like 2015. We'll touch on him and his knee injury before the end of the hour. Another what feels like another botched move when it comes to a banged up player on this team. God, even though they've been playing, they've been red hot here, there's still issues with them when it comes to injuries, when it comes to the bullpen, the manager, and now this David Price thing. All right. We'll get the update here from Marshall Hook. He'll let you know what's going on with David Price in case you missed that sound just a couple of minutes ago. And then back with more of your phone calls as it pertains to Giancarlo Stanton. Which of any of these young stud players, or potentially young stud players, would you be willing to move? You're on Marshall's side, you'd move anybody. Benintendi, Devers, greatest Devers has looked since he's come up. Betts. Or are you like me that you're going to maybe hang on to some of these guys like Benintendi or Devers? Because I think that those guys, they're worth building around. 617-779-0985. Back after this, it's the Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
2-0 to Boyd. And a swing, and that one headed for the wall, headed into the alley. That's going to drop onto the warning track and bounce back to Jackie Bradley. Boyd into second base. He slides in with a double. One down on the 2-2. Ground ball deep short. Xander Bogaerts trying to get it on to first base, and not in time, and a run will score. As Voit touches home plate, DeJong picking up his second hit, this one for an RBI, and we'll make it 10-4.
You don't see Joe Kelly throw that many sliders. I don't know what it was, maybe a cutter, but it's his ball in the right spot. Yeah, he cut that ball a little. I guess that's a slider for him because it breaks so much.
Joe Kelly is fool's gold, I'm telling you right now, and this is one of my concerns about this team going forward. It's not how the manager has handled the bullpen, because up until recently, I think overall, with what he's been dealt, and the fact that, you know, guys that he had been promised that he could use to bridge the eighth inning, like, say, oh, I don't know, Tyler Thornburg, have been broken down, and that's more on Dave Dombrowski. I don't trust anybody outside of Craig Kimbrell in this bullpen. I don't. And last night is proof again why. I get it. You know, it was a lopsided game at that point, and Joe Kelly comes into the eighth inning, and Joe Kelly was Joey Kittens. I mean, he gives up one run, couple of hits, wild pitch. It wasn't a full-on implosion, but I certainly don't look at that and feel confident about Joe Kelly working in the seventh inning or any kind of high-pressure situation. No. You saw it blow up on Friday night in New York when he came in after Addison Reed. No. I don't trust anyone in this bullpen outside of Craig Kimbrell. I don't. And I think you're nuts to. So that's all. I just wanted to touch on that. As good of a win as that was for the Red Sox last night, I still think you can see the chinks in the armor with this team. I wanted to bring this up, too, as I'm talking about a guy that is a continuing disappointment here in Joe Kelly.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get better.
Yeah. No, Marshall, you know, we talked about the New England Sports Survey on the afternoon show. Mike brought this up. This comes out now. I think it's the eighth year that this has been put out. And while Joe Kelly has, again, continued to be a bit of a disappointment overall, and certainly has to me, one of the things they touch on in this survey are Red Sox players that have not met expectations this season. No big surprise, getting 35% of the vote, David Price right up top there. And, you know, look, it's been a bad fit from the get-go, so, you know, that one's a given. Pablo Sandoval gets 31% of the vote. Rick Porcello at 8%. Been a down year for Rick Porcello, but now has won his last three starts. I'm not going to be too hard on him, especially coming off a Cy Young Award winning year. Xander Bogaerts getting 6%, and then Dustin Pedroia. So, I don't know, Bogaerts, I thought should be higher than Porcello, but I thought I would bring that up considering a lot of people have been talking about that New England Sports Survey today. But keep your eye on Joe Kelly and the rest of that bullpen. Not going to be surprised if it all blows up in their face at some point later in the season or in the postseason.
Here's the thing about Bogaerts to me is he, if you took him in a vacuum, if you never knew what we thought Bogaerts was going to be and he was just who he is, he's not that much of a disappointment. He's still a better-than-average shortstop on a major league team. The problem is he is so underperforming the promise that we had of Xander Bogaerts, particularly in the power category, right? We thought he was going to be a legitimate middle-of-the-order power bat. And what does he have on the year? Six?
Yeah.
Seven? Something like that? And so, whereas Rick Porcello, for much of the year, has just outright sucked. He has been relative to all of baseball, he's been bad for a good chunk of the season. Xander Bogaerts hasn't been that. He's just underperformed what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, you thought that there was going to be more pop there. And it turns out that Xander Bogaerts is essentially Andrelton Simmons. It might actually be a bad comp this year because Andrelton Simmons has actually had some power, and I think he's got like 12 or 13 home runs. But overall, you know, Simmons, nice ball player. But we thought the trajectory was going to be a lot higher. It's now two straight years where he's dropped off a cliff, and it's why I would be willing to move him in any kind of a deal for Giancarlo Stanton. You can have both.
He is my 10-year-old son Henry's favorite player, so he might be a little upset at that.
I'm sorry, Henry. How about you, though? We're going to continue to take calls on Giancarlo Stanton. Again, it would be a big ask. You'd have to get rid of one of these foundational players here. Betts, Bogarts, Devers, Benintendi. Who'd you be willing to move for Giancarlo Stanton? All of them, like Marshall? 617-779-0985. We'll go to John in the car. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, John.
Guys, the question is on Giancarlo Stanton. Can he play here? He's never played in a market like this.
Hey, it's John. Considering how other moves like this or other big moves that the Red Sox have made in the last 5 to 7 years have blown up in their face, Carl Crawford, obviously David Price, Pablo Sandoval, it's a good question. I would like to think so. It seems like Marshall, it's a guy that doesn't mind having cameras in his face. Granted, it's Miami. No one really cares outside of, like, partying and coke and girls down there. But, you know, it seems like a guy that would relish in the spotlight. I think I wouldn't really worry about that.
And no, nor would I. And I think that with players like David Price and, you know, others that, you know, Edgar Renteria was a guy of a few years back. These were guys that you could see ahead of time. Carl Crawford was a guy you could kind of see ahead of time, maybe were a little bit soft. And I think a lot of us saw it in David Price that maybe he might not be right for this market. I don't think that anyone has seen any sign of that from Stanton anywhere.
Adrian Gonzalez was the one I really got wrong. Yeah. I thought he was going to come here, flourish. And boy, that was another one that did not work at all.
I got to tell you, 50 home runs is what I had for him in season number one here in the Fenway Park.
I thought he was going to be the balls, and it turns out that guy just wants to be in Southern California and not be bothered about anything. We'll go to Chris in the car. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I agree 100%. Cannot get rid of Devers. Cannot. I mean, he's a lefty bat. Everyone we're talking about pretty much righties, including Stanton, obviously. So you got to keep Devers, and he can hit lefties too. I mean, he hit, and I think you need to check this, but only the second home run Chapman's ever given up to a lefty in his career. So Devers cannot go. And what I think is interesting to think about, I mean, I think Price could get sent down to Miami because with coming under new management, I think it actually could make a lot of sense for them to take Price and kind of have that name brand player on their pitching staff under new management. But anyway, my main reason for calling, sorry, is I think that, you know, it's interesting we haven't heard too much about Mookie Betts' contract. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, I think there were some renegotiations, and I think Mookie claimed that they were not contentious, but it wasn't, you know, he didn't get the deal that he wanted, maybe deserved. Second in the MVP race last year. So I think that's interesting that the Red Sox wouldn't sign him for bigger money, and I don't know what their plans are going forward. So I feel like he's a piece that could be moved. And I think after the fact, you know, if we made that trade, say Betts and Price for Stanton, even if Stanton were a bust, you know, like Adrian Gonzalez, I think you look back on it and you say, you know, we got rid of Price, and there's no loss there. And Mookie, you know, maybe he ends up playing out. But, I mean, I think it's worth the risk. So I think it's an interesting trade. And I think the Marlins could consider it, especially coming under new management.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for the call. With Mookie Betts, it wasn't the Red Sox that rebuffed any kind of deal. Mookie Betts shot down the extension talks from the Red Sox. So this is the concern, and this is one of the other reasons I'd be willing to move him in a deal for Giancarlo Stanton. I get it. You know, he almost won the MVP. He should have won the MVP last year. I hate that they give it to guys on losing teams. Mike Trout, great player, but please. But if you look at the money, just from the money aspect, never mind the easy thing. You'd have a redundancy at the position, so just simplify it. Between the two, would you rather have in right field, Stanton or Betts? I'm sorry, I take Betts. He's an excellent player, but at best, he'll be Andrew McCutchen. Really nice player, but that's Andrew McCutchen. You don't get much pop there. Stanton, he's baseball Gronkowski, and at 27 years old. So his contract currently runs through age 37 at $25 million per, which is a lot now. Seems like a ton of money, and he's got an opt-out in a couple of years. You can figure that thing out. But this all changes. This all changes after next season when Bryce Harper gets more money than, I mean, it's all we'll end up talking about for like a week on Sports Talk Radio when Bryce Harper ends up getting a massive amount of money from probably the Yankees. It'll be like $500 million, no joke. So when that changes, so will the Mookie Betts money when he's up for free agency. So he's going to end up making more than what Giancarlo Stanton's making in a couple of years. So that's another one of the reasons. Like, he'll be up. I don't know if you're going to be able to hang on to him. You have the redundancy of the position. You can't have both, at least to me. Stanton, yes, you can have Betts. Betts is involved for the deal for Stanton. How about you? 617-779-0985. Garrett and Medford, you've been hanging a little bit here. Appreciate that. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, Garrett.
Hey, I'm actually glad you brought up the contract. So, you know, kind of with the contract, it seems like it would be a lose-lose situation since he has the opt-out after 2020. Mm-hmm. So if he were to, you know, ball out of control, he could easily hit the market, seeing that Bryce Harper and Machado just reset the market. And if he kind of doesn't do too well, then you're stuck with that contract. And it's not really 25 per year. It escalates to like 32 or 33 per year for the last three or four. So it's pretty backloaded. So, yeah, it's kind of a tricky situation with him, I think.
So what, would you ultimately make any kind of deal for him, though, Garrett? Would you be willing to give away from one of these, you know, cornerstone pieces?
Yeah, I would trade Bogarts. You could probably talk me into Mookie. Maybe Benintendi. Devers I'm not touching just because he just seems like an advanced hitter for his age. And, you know, he hits for power, he hits for average. That's another thing, too, that scares me with Stanton. Yeah, he has all these power numbers, but his batting average is pretty low. So when that body goes, what's he going to be?
Yeah, and so that's the other thing. You know, for those that would be against this move, it's the, I guess, the durability or injury issues that Giancarlo Stanton has had before. He's got a gimpy right knee that he had scoped in 2012. They've sat him for games since. Same thing happened last year. Has he played every single game this year so far, Marshall?
He's played in, I believe, 119 games out of however many.
And he took a 90-plus miles per hour fastball off the face, and thankfully has been able to come back from that. But, okay, the knee would be the issue there. And he's hitting, what, 267? So, you know, that would be the other thing. You know, I can understand why people would want to shy away from that, that he's just, you know, the guy can mash, but he's not really going to be able to hit for average. Why don't we go to Rich in the truck, says he wanted to talk about Rick Porcello quickly. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
Porcello, I think he's got a 4-plus ERA. I know he's won his last three starts and all, but, like, isn't it, like, haven't the Sox been shut out in, like, 10 of his starts?
Oh, he's gotten precious little run support earlier in the season. He's given up far too many home runs. The fastball was way over the plate far too much, but it seems like he's corrected some of these things. I think I wasn't going to get on Porcello all that much. Feels like he's kind of turned things around as of late. Wasn't getting run support there in the middle of it, but these last, you know, 3-4 starts, it's looked really good. Porcello, that's why I find that a little bit, I don't know, surprising, I guess, that his name was on one of the disappointing players of 2017.
Don't forget the survey was taken a few weeks ago.
No, it actually wasn't. I actually got emailed by the woman who helped put this thing together. She said it happened like a week and a half ago.
All right.
So
that's at least two starts ago.
Yeah, I think people may be looking at the overall performance of Rick Porcello since he came here. Fine, you want to put in 2015 and go with the Rick Porcello blow rather than Rick Porcello of last year? I guess I can get that. I can get into spite.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.